Hello everyone, welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. This is Michael Moret, and this is our 23rd study through the book of Genesis, verse by verse. And we come today to Genesis chapter 24, and we pick up our study in verse 50. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessings to the word that we are about to read and study in Jesus' name. Amen. Picking up right where we left off last time, in verse 50 of Genesis 24. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, "The thing comes from the Lord. We cannot speak to you either bad or good. Here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go, and let her be your master's son's wife, as the Lord had spoken." In other words, Laban, Rebekah's brother, and Rebekah's mother say, "This is clearly of God. So what we think is irrelevant." And, you know, if something is clearly God's will because it's spelled out in the Word of God, it really doesn't matter what we say or what we want. If something is God's will, then our opinion doesn't count. 52. And it came to pass, when Abraham's servant heard their words, that he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. Then the servant brought out jewelry of silver, jewelry of gold and clothing, and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother. And he and the men who were with him ate and drank and stayed all night. Then they arose in the morning, and he said, "Send me away to my master." But her brother and her mother said, "Let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10. After that she may go." Now, Rebekah's mother and brother are getting sentimental. And I suppose that's understandable, but sentimentalism should never stop someone from obeying God. And they want Rebekah to be in God's will, but they just want to delay it for a while, you see. Well, that does not set well with Abraham's servant. Notice verse 40 or 56. He said to them, "Do not hinder me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away so that I may go to my master." The servant knew that he was right in the middle of God's will. And he wasn't going to let her family take him out of God's will either. He was not going to let anything hinder what he knew to be God's work. Verse 57. So they said, "We will call the young woman and ask her personally." And I can tell you right now, Rebekah's family were a bunch of liberals. Believe me. Back in those days, young men and women were not usually asked who they wanted to marry or when they wanted to marry. They were told who and when they would marry. But they're going to leave it up to Rebekah here. 58. Then they called Rebekah and said to her, "Will you go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." And so Rebekah is willing to leave her family and probably never see them again. She's willing to travel 500 miles to a land she has never seen and marry a man she has never met. And she is willing to do it because she believes it is God's will. 59. So they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, "Our sister, may you become the mother of thousands, of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them." Then Rebekah and her maids arose, and they rode on the camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebekah and departed. Now Isaac came from the way of Beer Lahai Roy, for he dwelt in the south. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening. And he lifted his eyes and looked, and there the camels were coming. And this was a big day. I wonder how many times Isaac went outside and looked toward the northeast, hoping to see the servant and hopefully a woman with him as well. And I bet his heart started racing when he saw what was coming down the road. 64. Then Rebekah lifted her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camel. For she had said to the servant, "Who is this man walking in the field to meet us?" The servant said, "It is my master." So she took a veil and covered herself. Rebecca veiled herself. She veiled herself because that is what women did back in those days. You know, actually, some men did not see their wives' face until after they were married. 66. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. Now, Sarah is dead, so Rebecca moves into her tent, which was more like an apartment. Actually, back in those days, husbands and wives lived in separate places. It says in verse 67 again, "Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebecca, and she became his wife, and he loved her." It doesn't say what kind of marriage ceremony, if any, took place. They may have just agreed to be husband and wife, since it was clear to both of them that God had brought them together. A thing like that would not have been unusual for that day, by the way. And then the last part of verse 67 says, "So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death." Isaac's mother had been dead for 3 years. But Isaac did not really get a measure of comfort until after Rebecca became his wife. No one can replace those that we lose, but others can relieve the grief. And that is what she did for him. Chapter 25, verse 1. Abraham again took a wife, and her name was Keturah. It is 3 years now after the death of Abraham's wife Sarah. Isaac is married, Abraham is alone, and as a result he remarries. But believe me, it wasn't just for companionship, because look at 2. "And she bore him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua." You know, it's not surprising to me that Keturah, who was probably a young woman, had children. The amazing thing is that Abraham, who is 140, could be the father of those children. Abraham's reproductive system was dead 40 years earlier. God energized him so that he could become the father of Isaac. Well, evidently, God never un-energized him, because here he is, at age 140, fathering several children. 5. "And Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac, but Abraham gave gifts to the sons of the concubines which Abraham had. And while he was still living, he sent them eastward away from Isaac his son to the country of the east." Abraham was kind to all of his children. He gave them all gifts and made sure that they got a nice start in life. But his inheritance went to Isaac. And that is the way God wanted it to be. 7. "This is the sum of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived, 175 years. Abraham was 75 when God told him to leave his homeland. That means he lived 100 years in the Holy Land before he died. Verse 8. "Then Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people." Gathered to his people does not mean that he was buried in the same cemetery as his friends and family. It is not talking about his body at all. It is talking about his soul. It is talking about life after death. Abraham died, and he was reunited with Sarah and everyone else who went to paradise before him. 9. "And his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar, the Hittite. The field which Abraham purchased from the sons of Heth. There Abraham was buried, and Sarah his wife." Isaac and his brother Ishmael had been separated for about the last 70 years, but they got together at their father's funeral. 11. And it came to pass, after the death of Abraham, that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt at Beer Lahai Roy. Abraham is gone, but God's program goes on with Isaac. God's plan is bigger than any one person, you know. Even Abraham could be replaced. Now, verse 12. It says, this is the genealogy of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar, the Egyptian, Sarah's servant, bore to Abraham. And I'm not going to read the entire genealogy of Ishmael, but I do want to begin reading in verse 16 where it ends. Down in verse 16 it says, these were the sons of Ishmael, and these were their names by their towns and their settlements, 12 princes according to their nations. Now, I don't believe God would have even mentioned the descendants of Ishmael if it wasn't for something that God had said to Abraham years earlier. When God told Abraham to send the then 16-year-old Ishmael away, remember he made Abraham a promise. He said that Ishmael, he said that he would take care of Ishmael, and he also said that Ishmael would produce a nation. Well, God kept his promise, and we see that right here, because it talks about the 12 princes according to their nations descending from Ishmael. See, it is important to God that we understand that he does what he says he will do, and I believe that's why he included the genealogy of Ishmael in his holy word. 17. These were the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years, and he breathed his last and died, and was gathered to his people. Now, Abraham had 16 years to teach his son Ishmael about God before the Lord made him send him away. And evidently his teaching paid off, because the Bible says that Ishmael was gathered to his people just like Abraham was. And so Ishmael and his father are reunited in death. 19. This is the genealogy of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah as wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian, of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian. And we saw earlier that it definitely was God's will for Isaac and Rebekah to be married. God's leading was crystal clear on that one. 21. Now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. It was God's will for Rebekah to be Isaac's wife, and it was God's will for Isaac to have children. We know those two things. He had to have children to carry on the messianic line. So, you know, he did not have to plead with God to convince him that he and his wife should have a child. But God's delays often cause us to draw closer to him. And I doubt that Isaac would have prayed so earnestly for the 20 previous years if God would have given them a child right away. So God's delays are good for us, even though we don't like them. 22. But the children struggled together within her, and she said, if all is well, why am I like this? So she went to inquire of the Lord. Poor woman. Felt like her womb was a wrestling mat. And for good reason, it was a wrestling mat. Verse 23. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. You know, the firstborn son always became the leader in the family after the father died. But God says, not this time. God chose the youngest to be the leader, and his choice was based on his foreknowledge. God knew that the oldest would not have the spiritual qualifications to lead this important messianic family. 24. So when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed, there were twins in her womb. And there's nothing to indicate that Isaac prayed for two children, But that is what he and Rebecca got. Verse 25. And the first came out red. He was like a hairy garment all over, so they called his name Esau. Esau means hairy. 26. Afterward, his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, so his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. These two boys fought about everything. They even fought about who'd be the first one out of the womb. Esau, the strongest, he won the battle. But Jacob was grabbing his heel all the way. This was a sign of things to come. 27. So the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, hunting, fishing, and other sports. Those were good things. Those are good things. Esau, however, was addicted to sports, to the point where recreation and the outdoors was his god. That's why he was not qualified to lead this messianic family. 27, the last part. But Jacob was a mild man, dwelling in tents. And you don't have to be a mild man to be a godly man, but that is the kind of man that Jacob was. He had a lot of spiritual rust, rust that God will scrape off, but deep down, Jacob had a heart for the Lord. 28. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And that's the recipe for an unhappy home, I'd say. Each parent had a favorite, and it's going to lead to a big family split, and we will see that next time. Until next time, so long, everyone.